Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. It's a lovely day here in studio. I always know when I tape after Glenn to wear long sleeves because he likes to keep it about 10 degrees below zero in here. So we'll see if I can do this without shivering. Also got some friends here off stage, and there are children here. So I'm going to be on my best behavior. Okay. So today, I think a congrats is in order. Consider yourselves, congratulations, America. Consider yourselves $95 billion poorer after the Senate voted. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Congratulations, America. The Senate has voted 79-18 to ship your hard-earned money to Ukraine, Israel, and other foreign entities dealing with essentially border conflicts while providing absolutely no meaningful security at our own southern border. And out of a pool of 100 senators you elected to represent you, only 18 actually stood up for you. And by the way, only 15 of those were Republicans. You can see the list here of the nays on the foreign aid bill. Those of you who are listening on audio podcasts, Barrasso, Blackburn, Braun, Budd, Cruz, Hagerty, Hawley, Johnson, Lee, Loomis, Marshall, Merkley, Rubio, Sanders, Schmidt, Scott from Florida, Vance, and Welch. Did you hear me? 15 of those were Republicans. Yeah. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called it one of the most consequential measures Congress has passed in years to protect America's security and the future of democracy. Democracy. Okay. Well, Joe Biden, or whoever is running his Twitter account these days, posted shortly after the passage, "Tonight, a bipartisan majority in the Senate joined the House to answer history's call at this critical inflection point. Congress has passed my legislation to strengthen our national security and send a message to the world about the power of American leadership. We stand resolutely for democracy and freedom and against tyranny and oppression. I will sign this bill into law tomorrow." There was that word again, democracy. And I just keep thinking, I don't know, a small group of elitist morons voting to send your unborn grandchildren's 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 assets to another country to fund a war we have no business being involved in doesn't really sound very democratic to me. But I guess, you know what, to be fair, we aren't a democracy, so it shouldn't sound democratic. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's very representative of the American people and what we want. But to call this a national security bill is just disgraceful, shameful. The Uniparty really thinks you're stupid. And I gotta be honest, I can't think of anything other than they just hate you, which is why they will take a victory lap over the amazing job they did spending money we don't have. Do we have that applause again? Congratulations, we spent money we don't have while we do nothing good or meaningful for you, the American people. In fact, they make us less safe every day, it seems. But hey, that's okay, because Ukraine is thriving. Here was a news segment run last year over in war-torn Ukraine.
Despite the rockets, Ukraine's nightlife is rocking. The bars and clubs are full. The place is jumping, music pumping, drinks flow freely, and they dance like there's no tomorrow. And it's not just here. Fun fact, there are now more bars and restaurants in the capital than before the start of the invasion.
You did that, America. You funded that. Congratulations. Warmonger Lindsey Graham said about the vote, "It's just so much easier to go back home and say, listen, we're asking people to pay us back when they can, if they can. This is just a much better package. It's more robust for Israel. We're asking people to pay us back when they can, if they can." Is that the treatment you get here in America if you can't pay your bills? Did your credit card company just say, you know what, pay us when you can? If not, totally fine. Of course not, because that's not how any of this works for you, which they know. But again, they think you're stupid and they hate you. You think because Republicans are supposed to work for you that they're your friends. They're not. They want you to think that they're going to go to bat for you. They aren't. and on the rare occasion you actually think they are representing you, those are mistakes in their eyes, actually. Like this one, the traitorous Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who came in here with a lot of big talk about the border. Oh, it's a priority. Border, border, border. We won't do anything until we get true border security. The one time he did something that I was like, okay, based, was back in March when he rolled his eyes at all of the lies Joe Biden told America in his State of the Union address. It was the first time that I was like, wow, that's representative of me. That's what I'm doing. That's how I'm feeling. And I see it in Mike Johnson's eyes. Well, according to a report today, Mike Johnson later apologized to Joe Biden for that. Think about that, okay? When Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House, she jammed everything she could down Republicans' throats. She didn't roll her eyes. She stood up and made a spectacle ripping up President Trump's speech. Ripping it up right in front of America, right in front of Donald Trump. The level of disrespect these people show to us all the time, every time we're in power or not, it's off the charts. But Mike Johnson dares roll his eyes at Joe Biden for literally lying to the American public. He tucks his tail in between his legs and apologizes like the uniparty lapdog that he is. And, you know, it just must occur to you at a certain point that our team is not playing to win. Maybe it's because they don't want to. I don't know anymore. The left isn't apologizing for being disrespectful, though. The left is weaponizing every single federal agency in the judicial system against their political opponents. Republicans apologize. Do you know what Democrats do? 91 indictments. That's what they do. And we learned today in newly unsealed memos in all of these 91 indictments that in Donald Trump's classified documents case, I know I need a flowchart for all of the indictments, the classified documents case, that Biden's own White House worked with the National Archives officials to escalate pressure on Donald Trump while simultaneously dealing with, of course, Biden's own classified documents saga. So one email that was dated May 5th, 2021, shows the National Archives and Records Administration had already consulted the Biden White House about the missing Trump records more than a year before the public would learn that Donald Trump had kept some classified memos. In one email, the general counsel for the archives said, "I have had several conversations with," this is redacted in some way, "person 40, they're calling him, since the end of the Trump administration about various paper records that he believes were not transferred to us." Now, person 40 ended up in the document, it showed person 40 as working directly for the Biden White House in the records management office, which, by the way, you're going to be shocked to hear this. This was previously redacted information, newly unsealed by Judge Cannon. I can see why they redacted it. So while NARA and the White House were engaging the DOJ on Trump, Biden aides were simultaneously trying to figure out how to handle his own classified documents issue. And though at the time they claimed, "Oh, well, we just accidentally came across these classified documents. They were unexpectedly discovered in November of 2022. Oopsies, we had no idea these existed." No, actually, documents show that in March of 2021, the same time they were amping up pressure on Trump, one of the Biden assistants actually went to the Penn Biden Center to take inventory of those documents. Yeah. Are you shocked? This was all part of their plan. The raid at Mar-a-Lago, the bogus charges, all of it just going according to plan. And Mike Johnson has the audacity to betray Americans by throwing away assets of the unborn to send to foreign countries. And then he apologizes for rolling his eyes. It's all an illusion at this point. The idea you have a government that works for you, the idea that they care about democracy, the game is rigged. It's just rigged because they play to win. And there's no one there to stop them because they're all in on it. And they all think you're stupid. And they do hate you. So I've got more to come. We're going to bring in the panel. Okay. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Relief Factor. Remember back in the day when, you know, you could do all the normal things you wanted to do in a day without feeling just instant pain? Well, those days are gone for me because I've reached the age where the other day I had to hobble in here and barely sit down because my knee was killing me and it was bruised and I had no idea. And people were like, "What'd you do to your knee?" And I'm like, "I don't know, slept." That's all. I have no idea what I did to my knee. So if you are living in constant pain, maybe it is your knee, maybe it's your back, maybe you've got arthritis or tennis elbow, whatever the case may be, what the likely cause of that pain is the inflammation in your body. And if you're not getting rid of the inflammation, you're not actually getting to the root cause of the pain. That is why you need Relief Factor. It is a daily supplement that helps your body fight pain by fighting the inflammation. So it actually tackles the root cause. It's 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors to help reduce or eliminate pain. And here's the thing. Go to relieffactor.com, get the 3-week quick start. It's $19.95. They've got a guarantee, by the way. So you're going to be out nothing except potentially your pain. But 70% of the people who order that 3-week quick start go on to keep ordering it. It's working for that many people. The odds are in your favor that it can get you out of pain. Get that by going to relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. I want to welcome two guests who it's their maiden voyage on the show today. We have comedian Danny Polischuk.
Hello.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Polischuk.
Polischuk.
I told you I was going to screw that up.
Everybody does.
Ugh.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, we'll laugh it off because he's supposed to be funny.
Apparently.
Also joining us, we've got Shane Cashman. He is the author of Joyless Kingdom, and you can also find his work over at Timcast News. Happy to have you as well.
Thanks for having me.
I have these polls that we could go through, but I want to start this segment off with just... how's it going here in 2024 in the Joe Biden presidency? How are we doing? How is Joe Biden? Is he alive? We're not really sure. Is he a hologram? Probably. And I want to play for you Joe Biden at a speech earlier today with just a little oopsie. We'll see if you can pick up on that. Watch.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years.
Pause.
4 more years.
What's the audience?
Pause.
Maybe in a really in a hip hop culture. Is that possible? Is that what the pause?
No Diddy.
Yeah, is that what the pause is from? He's just like, he goes, I said something kind of questionable.
Yeah.
Pause.
Pause. Pause. Can we redo this? Oh, it's live. There are people in front of me. Oh, okay. Well, that's awkward.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, guys, it was not that they were scripting the 4 more year chant.
Sure.
That couldn't possibly be the exact same time he says pause, because that's what it says on the teleprompter, the people in the audience start chanting 4 more years.
It must be in brackets too. Like this isn't like he keeps doing this and you would think they go, hey, the things that are in brackets, those are for you.
I think that's for emphasis.
I guess, but you're like, he's probably, like, I've seen him do this exact gaffe, like, multiple times.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's the I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yes, right. Yes.
Well, which version of Biden is this? Because that was probably a few clones ago.
I don't know. It is crazy. I watched an interview of him from 4 years ago. And he's pretty lucid in comparison. Like
In comparison.
Yeah. But you're like, 4 years ago, you're like, man.
Yes.
It's like the degree to which it's. I mean, again, I've been doing a joke about it where he's the only 81-year-old man who we will just like treat horribly. Like, you're like, remember when he fell off the bike? And everybody's like, he's the only 81-year-old man who falls off a bike. And everybody's like, you stupid idiot. You fell off a bike.
I guess I should feel a little bit guilty for
laughing. No, I mean, he's the president.
That.
So he's like, it's fair game.
It is fair
game.
Like,
fair game.
Right.
You're the president, but you're just like, if he wasn't the president, he'd be like.
I've never liked him. Like, the crime bill infuriated me in the 90s. He's a plagiarist. And, but I was watching an old interview with him not too long ago. It was the Colbert interview.
Huh.
I remember when I saw that first came out, it was 2015. I remember feeling somewhat remorse for him.
Yeah.
Because he was like a man who's made a career out of grief.
Yeah,
he's lost his wife,
right,
and stuff. So he's always selling, he's exploiting his own grief.
Yeah.
I remember feeling bad, and he spoke well
comparatively
what we have now.
He also, he's not even just exploiting his own grief; he's just lying about his own grief as well.
Son
Beau has apparently died in all sorts of different ways in combat, and also
His uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Yeah,
sure.
His uncle was which has now apparently caused bad relations with Papua New Guinea.
Really,
they're like really
the
mad.
Last thing we needed.
Like, yeah, those guys are a bunch of third world savages. They're like, are you joking?
I mean, they should be happy for any sort of relevancy. They should be, as someone who's from Canada, I go, just when they're talking about you in America, that's just take that. That's a win. Okay?
Thanks, Biden.
Take the win. Yeah. So I want to play another check-in. We do a thing on this program called Welfare Check. Welfare check on Joe Biden for the second time in, I think, a couple weeks. Joe Biden was like, freedom over democracy. Watch.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy for democracy?
What? I keep trying to, like, I would personally, I don't think that the two are opposites, so I don't know how you choose one. Yeah. I do prefer freedom, and sure. I don't like democracy, but how does one choose freedom over democracy? I'm still...
That is a weird, like, if kind of and or choice right. or whatever, like, it's this or that.
It's classic. It's just classic. When did he say he compared... white kids to poor kids or something. He had that graph where,
poor kids are just as capable as white kids. Right. This is you're like, wait.
This is his favorite. This is what he does. His brain is mush. It is abuse. Like but we're like, watching.
Someone abuse. Wrote that though. That's the thing is like that last one.
Very true.
Like the last one. Maybe I don't know about the. He might have been going off the cuff here, but someone wrote
that's
that. He was reading that.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
The person point. Who wrote that's not 81. Right. They're probably in their 40s or something. So what are they
secretary.
Doing?
It's probably a secretary.
Yeah.
It's Kareen.
That's the problem with the DEI hires.
I guess.
Yeah.
You're not getting the brightest of the bunch.
They're not sending their best.
But they applaud. Best. Like his crowd, they're also probably told to applaud. Like it's a late night show.
Yeah.
But they all agree. Like, that sounds good. We like it.
Yeah.
We'll run with that. Yeah.
Clapping seals. Or yes.
It's bumper stickers on his website now. I'm sure.
Yeah. So... we see how things are going, spoiler alert, not well. And some encouraging news, if you are also thinking things are not going well, is that Donald Trump received polling bumps against Joe Biden in the battleground states of Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin in a survey released today. probably because they're watching that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably because they're going to the grocery store and they're like, everything costs more now that Joe Biden is in office. My gas costs more. There are people coming across the border that look like they don't like me very much. Like, this is not going well for us. And maybe Orange Man Bad might not be so bad after all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't I think it's a little premature for the polling stuff, but.
Sure. But. Yeah. Do you anticipate things will suddenly move in a better
direction with
Biden?
I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, he's just trying to get to the inauguration, I think, and then they're going to swap him out at
that's
point.
I think too.
With Kamala?
Yeah.
No. You think Kamala? I think Whitmer.
Well, once he gets to inauguration.
Under the radar.
Well, no, once the inauguration, he just goes, what? I'm not feeling so great.
Like,
change my
you
mind.
Know, you could have brought this up like many years ago.
Everybody, it'll be pretty transparent at that point where they go, okay, the party needed to win and the party won and all right.
How sad would it be?
I was thinking convention. Like at convention, he's going to do the thing where I'm a graceful old man all of a sudden who's going to bow out and then they're going to put Whitmer in.
I just want to know how he'll debate.
Yeah, I agree.
Remember the last debate with Trump where Trump kind of was like a little over the top and kind of did him a lot because he was, you know, the gaffe machine at that point.
Right.
And then all Trump had to do was just be kind of lay back and he couldn't. But like, how is he going to debate Trump right now? Is he just going to not?
I want to see
it. And if so, is that allowed?
Well,
he doesn't have to, but.
He doesn't have to. And honestly, this is what I said when the primaries were going on or the debates were going on for the primaries. And I was like, don't say there's no point in debating these people because that will be weaponized and used against you because then Joe Biden will go, well, Donald Trump didn't debate. Why should I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he can just lie. Just say, like, I'm so far ahead in the polls. It doesn't matter. Why should I debate a liar and, you know, fill in the insult here that a racist, all this, all that. Why should I would not give him the time of day.
That might blow up in his face, though, because some of my people will see that as, oh, you just can't. Because this isn't one, you don't have a however point lead that Trump had in the Republican primaries, right? So
yeah, but you see him, I don't disagree with you, but you also see him, he's a completely different person during the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Where they're, I mean.
He's hopped up.
He's taken something. I don't know what, but he's taking something that obviously they can't give to him every day, which is why we see such a stark contrast between the Joe Biden we just showed you and the Joe Biden during the State of the Union. So
State of the Union Biden was like right out of the stasis pod. They just emerged from it and they hyped him up. And this Joe Biden is the drugs have worn off.
Right.
Now, I was thinking maybe they'll give him a Neuralink at some point before the debate.
And might be a little too experimental at this point. That might be
risky. But yeah, it is a risk.
That might be a little too risky.
It might be.
Get any worse.
There's someone.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to implant something in his brain. It might.
He's already had brain issues.
So. I don't think they can afford to.
So on the topic of Donald Trump, of course, he is going through one of his many trials that the left intends to put him through as some sort of a humiliation ritual. And it's just been interesting to watch the coverage on it from all of these mainstream media outlets, just so rabid, it seems, to get Donald Trump in prison, no matter the cost. And I found it fascinating. They had Joy Reid on MSNBC outside of the Trump trial. And it's just interesting because she's brought on to discuss the legal case of this Stormy Daniels, you know, hush money payment, what have you. And she's just like, he looked big. He seemed upset, which, by the way, yeah, you think? Here is Joy Reid in that moment. Watch.
And I started off in the overflow. So I was team overflow at first and then did move in. Thanks to wonderful Lisa Rubin, let me move into the main room. My impressions of Donald Trump, you know, really being in the room with him, he's definitely bigger than you expect. He's taller than you expect, but he's more drawn. He kind of shuffled past. He has a sort of perma scowl on his face.
Ooh,
he definitely looked like he was paying attention this time. There was no sort of seeming to nod off or snooze, nothing like that.
Okay.
But definitely the energy between him and his main lawyer, Todd Blanche, was very kind of frenetic. And he didn't seem all that pleased with Blanche's performance, nor did the judge, I will add. So it was an interesting day. I think that they got a lot out of.
That literally told me nothing about the case.
Permascal.
Permascal.
That's a pretty good word.
I'm not pumped to be there. Yeah. That would be tough, though, if you're his lawyer. Like going up there and you got to give some like opening statement and you know he's just like he's grading you that whole time. Like
this is got to be at best.
Well, you just know that he has such a high standard. Yeah. You're probably like, oh man, don't screw this up.
Yeah, that's true. But I just it's like that is the hard hitting coverage that you're getting on mainstream media about the idea that a former president and current political candidate would be going to jail.
I also think it's a reflection of their audience.
Yeah. That's what they want. They just go, what did he look like? Did he look orange?
Was he mad? We want him to be mad and very orange.
Yeah, maybe sweating.
That's it. Just throw in a few interesting words to make it sound more nefarious and everything else is see Jack run.
Yeah. Well, you noticed too that she said he shuffled.
Yeah.
It's like, I realize you're trying to like paint him as old because your guy is half dead, but he is very much more capable.
He was a reanimated corpse.
Like, wait, what? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and we got to take a quick break and then we will be back with more on all of these anti-Israel protests and protesters. It's getting crazy out there, guys. We'll be right back. I think it was yesterday we talked about Columbia University closed their on-campus, all of their classes through the end of the year because the protests had gotten so far out of control. Harvard University has now closed Harvard Yard at the heart of its campus and is restricting access to the outside area until Friday, according to a report, of course, you know, after all of these anti-Israel protesters started popping up all over all of these campuses to take over these open areas. They're creating these encampments. I can only imagine what it smells like, but I want to play a clip of Harvard students storming the campus to stage this protest. Watch. Imagine cheering for yourself as you're doing something like that. Wow, I'm sure their parents are so proud. Can somebody in the control room please look up and tell me how much a year at Harvard University costs? I would love to know how much parents are spending.
Guess 100.
I think
80 to 100, you would think.
Yeah, probably about 100 grand. Yeah.
For your children to wheel their suitcases onto the grassy area of the campus to stage a protest.
Yeah.
They're a very expensive cult.
I mean, all those kids probably were pretty emboldened with all the George Floyd stuff. This isn't that out of their character, to be honest.
Yes, the evolution.
You know, like, they're like, yeah, they did all the George Floyd stuff, and then they protested then. They go, yeah, and this is the next one. And 4 years later, and there's an election coming up, and they go, we're doing one now, and they're going to do it in another 4 years.
The sequel, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a professor for 10 years. And,
were you really?
Yeah, it was wild. And so I just want to see them collapse, like the universities.
Me too.
They're the worst. The worst places. They treat professors terribly, like adjuncts, which are the majority of people teaching, which is what I was. And the administration is the worst. They take all this money. The tuition is going up and up and up.
Yeah.
Teachers don't get paid much, and they only really hire Marxist cult leaders.
Yeah, teachers, the good teachers aren't getting paid much, and all they're doing is just indoctrinating our young people. They don't know. They could graduate Harvard, which, by the way, they just told me $83,000 a year, $334,000 for 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
So they're spending that much.
Yeah.
And they're coming out with absolutely no common sense or critical thinking skills.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to tell you why they believe that Israel should be wiped off.
Sound like Joy Reid when they come out.
Sure. And they'll probably get internships at MSNBC.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. See the cycle of it.
Yeah. I mean, they might be in some sort of pipeline that actually is benefit. They go, actually, we need to do this so we get the job at NBC.
Right.
MSNBC is like, so what were you doing for the pro-Israel stuff? And you're like, I was just in the library studying. They're like, not interested. Sorry.
We're looking for fires. Yeah,
we're looking
on
for
this resume.
Activists, not smart people specifically.
Which that may explain this clip that we have of this is a Columbia University student who went to NYU last night to participate in their protest. And she was asked by a reporter why she was there. Here's that exchange.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing? About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh,
I came from Colombia. I was there, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
Mm. Oh, honey, I wish you were more educated, too.
Now, do they get the septum piercing when they enter the protest, or do they have it first and then you needed to get in, right? Or
is that the entry?
They go, hey, no septum piercing. You're like, not with our cause.
You're not one of us. Yeah. Also
the masks. The masks, I want to know. Honestly, if the masks are to cover their faces, that is, like, I want to know, like, are you doing this because you're worried about, like, getting doxxed or whatever? Or are you worried about getting COVID right now?
Or maybe it's they don't have the septum piercing. So
or maybe they don't have I'm sure there's a septum piercing under that mask, but I want to know if it's for COVID or...
We understand.
That is a big distinction.
Yes.
But, like, I want to know, are you all worried about getting COVID still?
I think they are.
I think they are. I mean, I just recently traveled a lot, way more than I wanted to, because I do not like traveling. And the amount of people who were still wearing masks in the airport was shocking to me.
I mean, I live in New York City. They're like, the thing is like walking down the street.
Yeah.
You're not even like, if you're on the subway, you're like, okay, that is a disease pit.
Right.
Okay. Like, I'll give you that.
Right.
Right. But you're like, you're just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Open air.
It's like, you're outside.
Right.
Alone in your car.
Or whatever, any of this stuff is...
Yeah.
That is the worst. So, Shane, you talk about these universities just imploding.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish that, mostly because we just need a reset.
Yeah.
Because they're coming out, they're not learning anything. Well, clearly, they're not learning anything of value. Mm. And then, as you mentioned, you're paying all this money for it. And I just keep thinking, I mean, I have two young boys, and I'm like... We lived in a time where it was just like, where are you going? Where are you going to college? That was just what you asked people because that's just what you did. And now it's like, I don't want my kids going to college at all.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get into Harvard, so I'm against it. But
screw those people.
Yeah. They no love lost. But I mean, the thing is, there's probably a lot of people who go to like Harvard Business School who are like none of them are there.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're it's more the faculties, right?
Right. I would say they're not protesting, but I still think every institution of all the universities has been infected with a problem.
Yeah, well, that is a problem for them because you can't be super outspoken against this stuff just because you're still under the umbrella of school.
It's an issue. And when I was in the school systems, I would see the public schools fail these kids. They would arrive to class illiterate or just not know basic things. I remember one young, I taught writing, one young girl who's writing a story about some sci-fi thing. She was talking about the temperature that when things freeze, she thought it was like 45. And she had, she just had, we were all like.
Was she possibly Canadian? Because that's what I would
test too. She's from Westchester, New York.
Okay.
Lots of money.
She messed up.
I'm having to figure out Fahrenheit too. And you go, it sounds about
it would happen,
right.
All these basic things that they should know, they just didn't know. And I think they showed up. I had one girl look at me the first day of class, and she was from like a cul-de-sac in Westchester.
Yeah.
She had all the Marxist pins on her hat, and she said, I'll never learn anything from a white man. And I was just like, I'm like letting it roll off my shoulder. I'm like, I'm going to change you. I'm going to like make you see me as a value in your life because I'm going to help you write stories. And it was all right, but she felt cool to say that around a whole table the first day of class and introduce yourselves.
Why can't you just fail her?
I mean, like, I wanted to.
You're right.
Deep down.
Correct. See you next year.
Good luck. Yeah. Here's your Molotov cocktail. Yeah.
Right. That is wild.
Yeah, it was wild. Every semester would like degrade into a new chaos.
It's just become such a trendy thing for like a college student though to be like, oh, I can't learn from a white guy.
Wait, hold on. Was this girl white?
She was.
Of course. Oh God, they always are.
That's the most points though, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're a white, like if like for her classmates to hear her say that, that's maximum points.
I did have Mexican immigrant first generation girls in one of my first classes who were pro Trump who blew the minds of the white kids who hated Trump.
That's 0 points. You get no points for that.
Literally, they had, I think, a seizure when they heard her say she was pro-border, pro-border wall.
What? The left always, because I'll talk about it, and they're like, you know, Republicans, they want you to go back to Mexico. And I'm like, actually, I am an American citizen, and that was very racist of you. You might want to consider that you guys are the baddies, is all that I'm saying.
I mean, they were telling at some of these protests Jews to go back to Poland, so.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like wild. I'm like, I felt like we learned our lesson after Hitler. Like, I felt like we learned our lesson after Nazi Germany. Yeah. And it just seems like they're totally comfortable behaving that way.
When they fetishize the things they hate, they do become it. And that's what happens every time. It's a classic human story.
Yeah, it's wild. All right, let's play one more clip here of this on that topic. NYU professor Scott Galloway talking about how, you know, he could never get away with saying what these protesters are saying about an entire community of people. Watch.
And I do think there is a double standard. I walked by NYU last night. What I saw was peaceful protest. But I can tell you, if I went into the NYU square with a white hood on and said, lynch the blacks or burn the gays, my ID would be shut off by that night. And I would never work in academia again. There would be no need for the words context or nuance. I wouldn't be protected by terms like First Amendment or free speech, I would be out of the world of academia. It seems like we have a double standard when it comes to hate speech as long as it's against Jews.
I couldn't agree more. One more quick note on this. So Ilhan Omar's daughter, Ursa Hersey, I think you say her name. She, of course, was one of the protesters who was arrested at Columbia. And she was like, they sprayed us with chemical weapons. It turns out it was just fart spray.
Yeah.
I was told she was just, it was fine. I mean, I'm sure it didn't smell great.
No.
Basically, Guantanamo.
When I was in elementary school, I bought fart spray and it accidentally exploded. And it was a bit of a scene.
Is it more smell when it's that much out at once?
It had like a little spray thing, but then the spray thing broke, so it all came out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, not that it was.
That's how Danny got
definitely not
expelled.
In a chemical, not a chemical weapon, but people weren't all too pleased with it.
Although, how you became a comedian?
Yeah, sure.
By the time they were finished,
fart spray to comedy pipeline.
By the time they were finished smelling it, they had wished that they were hit with a chemical weapon. All right, let's go to one more here. Actually, I lied. One more. Let's go to Mayor Eric Adams. He was on a flight. I got to be honest with you. I really enjoy seeing the left eat their own.
Alec Baldwin one was the best.
Yeah,
it was.
Oh my God.
So
to make everybody sympathetic.
Yeah, I know.
Alec Baldwin.
I know. I was like, so good. Why am I? I'm team Alec Baldwin on this. What? So here is Mayor Eric Adams being approached by a someone on a flight, very upset that they said he supports the genocide in Palestine. Watch.
Hey, Eric Adams. Yeah, you support the genocide in Palestine. There are homeless people all over New York. Hey, you're always partying. You don't actually care about the citizens of New York.
This person
partying
has a mask
in
on.
Miami.
Oh, you know yeah. Tell.
Hear it.
Yeah. You can tell. People are homeless in New York.
They're muffled. People cannot afford food. You keep cutting the education budget so you can fund the police. That's all you care about, funding the police. Everything is underfunded.
You know what?
You know what? I know that the New York City, I live there, and they have some budget problems. Can we get the mayor in first class, possibly? Why is he sitting in Economy Plus?
Right. What is he doing back there?
He's the mayor of the biggest city in the country.
Yeah. You want better representation.
I don't need him flying private.
Right.
Let's get him in one of the first two rows.
Even a real airplane? Maybe he
that was
set
Delta,
this up.
No, that was a Delta flight.
He set this up.
He was in the emergency exit. And then if it crashes, the mayor's got to help everybody get out? That's crazy.
Come on. Even help the city. No. How's he going to open that door?
We can't even expect him to help the city.
Unbelievable.
You're going to be doomed. So what do we think about people approaching, lawmakers, politicians on flights when they're not in their active role? I kind of love it, but I'm also like that
you should
probably
be allowed. I think you should be allowed to say what you want. Just don't get physical.
Yeah. I mean, remember
if they're with their families,
what was the guy on the train? Remember the guy on he got stopped on I think Max Blumenthal or something, caught some guy on a train. He was like a senator who was going to Washington. And then the guy's like, okay, you have to leave me alone now. And it was like I mean, there's to some degree,
I remember that.
Remember that? And it's a minute or two, I guess. He is an elected official. Theoretically, he works for you, assuming she lives in New York.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, at some point you go, okay.
I saw the congressman fly to Ukraine to show Zelensky the proof that they voted to give them billions of dollars of our money and laughing about it. And I have words I like to say to him.
Sure.
That's fair.
I don't want you to get physical, but I want people and him to be berated.
But also pre gotcha phone culture, nobody would ever done that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's for clout at this point.
Yeah.
We used to have duels like a normal proper country.
Yeah. You know? But it's all about the clout. If it wasn't for that, that person would never do that.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I do support bringing back duels.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's tough. Let's do it.
He carries a gun. He's like,
Eric Adams?
Yeah.
I guess he does. Former cop.
He's a former cop. He's a very pro gun guy.
Yeah.
Well, he can't carry a gun on an airplane.
I mean,
yeah, maybe he has.
I don't know. I mean, some people
clearance
are too.
I don't. Yeah.
I mean, the guy beside him had a gun. I bet you.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Or what is the people who
air marshals or whatever?
Yeah. So they would have guns.
Yeah. I think I would guess maybe. I don't know. I
can't imagine him flying without security.
No. That guy beside him was security for sure.
Yeah.
Shane. They all go through TSA. We're all secure. TSA is rooting out all of the bad things.
I actually had a whole TSA thing this morning because I flew from New York, and I had a bag of protein powder that I just bring with me, and it's a bag, but it's brown.
No.
And then they brought the explosives. They stopped me and they're like, they had the whole explosives team come out and they were testing it.
No way.
The guy's he's sorry.
It's way.
Yeah, it's literally, he goes, I think it's the because I mix creatine in. He goes, I think it's maybe the creatine is
what?
Setting it off or whatever.
Is he taking a test?
I'll drink a whole glass of this right now. And he goes, I wish you could do that. And it was half an hour.
No.
It was crazy. They patted me, they gave me the really crazy pat down and.
Right.
I had a similar thing happen to me, but it was over my mini bottle of tequila that TSA didn't realize that I could bring because it was, I think, what was it, 100 milliliters or whatever.
That's an ounce or something.
Yeah. I think it was two ounces. It was a double one. Mention I don't travel well? And they stopped me and they had to check me and they were like, we don't think that this is allowed. And I was like, it's under 3 milliliters.
Yeah.
It was 3 ounces. Yeah. It's under 3 ounces. or it is. And they were like, we don't know the translation for that calculation, and we're not sure. And I had to go to their website, and I was like, this is on your website. It's allowed, and I will go to jail before I throw this tequila away. Sure. So you're going to let me on. But I had to wait and wait and wait because there was someone in front of me who goes to, they travel to, I forget where, to get spices. Mm. And they went through every ounce of their spices. It was ridiculous. They're like, it's turmeric.
I can't stand them. Was people like they have the most urgent set of laws, but they always move the slowest.
Yeah.
Like whenever there's like a, if you don't want to go through the machine and get patted down, they hate you immediately, and they take a year to walk to you slowly, and then give you grief, and then grope you in front of your family.
Yeah. Right.
It's another humiliation.
I mean, the groping part's not the worst, but
you're traveling. Yeah, you know,
it's nice to feel wanted. But the rest of the delay is my issue.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. So the new Title IX rules out from Joe Biden's Department of Education, which I believe came out at the end of last week, they are making gender identity protected by Title IX, and they are classifying misgendering as sex-based discrimination. So, of course, misgendering is when you would look at a person and say, you clearly were born a man, and I'm going to call you sir. Well, now in the new rules, it says when that is done intentionally, it is classified as sex-based discrimination. And they say a stray remark, such as a misuse of language, would not constitute harassment under the standard, but they would leave the door open for intentional misgendering or refusal to use an individual's preferred pronouns.
This makes me feel like home. It's exactly like Canada.
Right out of Trudeau.
That's exactly what Canada was doing. That was all the whole bill. What was it? C-16 or whatever.
Peterson got famous.
Peterson, all that stuff was exactly this.
I
compelled speech.
That's right.
It's also brought to you by feminists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Strangely.
More of them eating their own.
Sure.
Yes. But unfortunately, also me.
Okay. Yeah. What about this, actually? Because this is back to my thing today, but I was thinking about this. So, you know, when you get patted down. Mm-hmm. By TSA, and they say they wait, so you have to wait because they have to get a person to pat you down who's your gender.
Oh, yeah.
What happens if a transgender person comes and you go, no?
Danny, I think
can we try another?
You just solved how we get rid of TSA.
I don't know about that, but I was honestly thinking that because I go, what happens if they send someone and they go, they send a trans man, and I go, no. Right. Like, am I the bat? Hey, I know, but I'm saying, like, under this thing, would they be like, you can't do that? Like, I mean, would they tell me, like, we need this trans person to fondle you? Because, like, they're getting pretty personal.
Do you want to be a bigot and thrown in jail?
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's what we're going
to
do.
I haven't lived here long enough to get thrown in jail yet, but, I was wondering that specifically today.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Fascinating. I guarantee that they will weaponize it against the people.
Sure.
To protect the agents.
Because that's a daily occurrence, right? Like, that's people getting patted down. That's a common thing.
Yeah.
And again, I had to wait today because they go, we're waiting for a guy to come.
Right.
To pat you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to happen more and more. If Jonathan Haidt, I think, had said years ago how it's just growing exponentially, the trans stuff within children.
For sure.
So we're going to have a larger population and probably hired by the state because that's like their new parent, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they'll get jobs at TSA to be miserable and grope you and put you in jail and fine you.
So,
American dream.
Yeah, where women are not safe in their locker rooms, in their bathrooms, even in their female-only organizations, right? Like sororities.
Yeah.
Females are not safe anywhere now. And we now are going to penalize people for speaking truth and saying, calling a dude a dude.
Yeah.
It blows my mind that this is where we're at.
I mean, the pronoun thing with me is, because this is regarding pronouns, is anytime, if anybody ever has like some pronoun crazy thing or whatever, I just be like, I'm calling you your name. That's it.
Right.
Problem solved. Mm-hmm. I go,
What's
your name?
Right.
That's how I refer to you. And
right.
That's it. I go, you're not going to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't want to intentionally be ugly to someone just for the sake of being ugly.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm also not, you're not going to force me to say something that I believe is untrue.
Right.
You do that in a Jordan Peterson voice?
No, I can't.
That's literally,
actually.
That's the whole thing. He goes, I'm not saying it.
No, I can't, but apparently you can.
I can. Right. I mean, I'm also Canadian, right?
Right. Yeah, it just does seem that, like, all of the crazy stuff that you guys
It's just trickling down. But the difference is we don't have, I'm an exceptional alien is what your country tells me. But the thing is, Canada doesn't have free speech, right? This is the only place that actually has it like written down where you have free speech. So that's why it's weird, because Canada, they pass it because they go, we don't have free speech in Canada. Not like they have here, but they do have it here. So why is that not covered under?
I mean, of course, it's supposed to be.
I think we have the idea of free speech. It's definitely better here than anywhere. But like, you see people trying to pass laws now, whether it's for the anti-Israel rhetoric or the anti-Palestine rhetoric. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, that's hate speech. I hate hate speech. Like, just say I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech and you're able to say whatever you want. And now you have politicians on either side because the pressure has been applied to the things that they're most passionate about, which is the new, this is like the Palestine, the Title IX, all of it is like just the new black box that everyone posts about. And they want to, it's like the lawful but not awful that Twitter would talk about. Mm-hmm. It's kind of spread out into the culture. And I can't stand it. It's terrible.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, to your point, Danny, about we do have free speech on the books, but if
it's the first one.
Right. But if the politicians don't care about our founding documents, then what does the piece of paper matter?
True.
Right. So, I mean, I think this ultimately is going to have to go to the Supreme Court and play out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many females and women are damaged in the process? I don't know. But I mean, it's really sad to see how quickly we can devolve into a mini Canada. Mm. Even with the protections that you're talking about, the protections mean nothing if the people that we've put in charge of things don't care to actually protect that.
Yeah. And you get to see how it's playing. Like, you get to see Canada as a kind of test case for this.
Right.
Right. And then because they say, you go, oh, it's the we're not going to apply it or you. But, you know, people do get in trouble for this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I can't see it. If it makes it to the Supreme Court, I imagine, hopefully.
Hope. It's just
because the thing is, and it's what Jordan Peterson said, it's not even this is specifically the issue, is that once they pass this one thing, then they're gonna have another thing, all these other speech things, and eventually it's just the precedent.
We're all not just them, we're all trapped in like a revolving door of their absurdity. Right. And so they keep redefining what it means to be a feminist or a man or a woman. Just like it reminded me of during the riots, the George Floyd riots, then segueing into the protests. Vaccines. Right. Sorry. Mostly peaceful protests. I'm so sorry. I was in New York and I had a lot of friends who were they weren't rioting. They were funding riots and sending money to arsonists. And then within a year, the same people who were screaming Black Lives Matter were literally saying Black lives cannot come into this establishment because they're not vaccinated. So I was like, you're literally segregationist now. Yeah. You went in 1 year to Black Lives Matter to being segregationist. And they're like,
okay. Crazy.
Fair enough. Right. Which is why you can't pass these laws like this, because
they
keep redefining.
They're not particularly principled people.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, gentlemen, tell everyone where they can find you. Danny.
I will be all weekend at the House of Comedy in Plano, Texas, not far from here. There's tickets still available Thursday to Sunday. DannyComedy.com for tickets.
DannyComedy.com. And then Shane, ShaneCashman.com.
That's it. Yeah, all my books are there.
You guys make this really easy.
Super easy.
DannyComedy.com, ShaneCashman.com. Check them both out. It has been a pleasure. I hope you guys will come back soon.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.